This week, we are continuing in 2 Chronicles. We're in chapter 30. Please turn in your pew Bibles to page 452. We're using the large print. It's on page 713. And we're going to be doing verses 1 through 5 and 25 through 27. You'll notice that those are the bookends of that whole chapter. And I'll be filling in a few of the other verses as we go along in the message. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verses 1 through 5 and 25 through 27. Hezekiah sent word to all of Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, inviting them to come to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. The king and his officials and the whole assembly in Jerusalem decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. They had not been able to celebrate it at the regular time because not enough priests had consecrated themselves and the people had not assembled in Jerusalem. The plan seemed right both to the king and to the whole assembly. They decided to send a proclamation throughout Israel from Beersheba to Dan, calling the people to come to Jerusalem and to celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. It had not been celebrated in large numbers according to what was written. Verse 25. The entire assembly of Judah rejoiced, along with the priests and Levites and all who had assembled from Israel, including the aliens who had come from Israel and those who lived in Judah. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired, inerrant word, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, and never returning void. Lord, we pray God the Holy Spirit upon us, that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive what you desire to reveal today, and that this preacher would not get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the message is entitled The Eucharist. The Eucharist. Most of you know the story to one extent or the other. At the burning bush, God told Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. So the Lord sends Moses to Pharaoh in Egypt to convince him to set the Hebrews free from slavery. Pharaoh was hard-hearted and needed a lot of convincing. After 9 terrible plagues, Pharaoh was still resisting. The Lord determined that the 10th plague would settle the matter for good. Starting with Pharaoh and going all the way down to the lowliest household, the firstborn would die, human and animals alike. But God promised the Hebrews who followed his instructions would be saved. Each household was to sacrifice a male lamb without defect. The blood of the lamb was to be spread over the wood of the door frames on the sides and the top of the doors. Inside that house, the lamb was to be completely consumed before morning. On that same night, God says, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt, little g gods. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Upon hearing the Lord's instructions, and Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. And when your children ask you, what does the ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed and worshiped. Now, Passover also launched another festival of remembrance. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on that very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. So Passover starts the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That is the backdrop to today's scripture we just read. Last week's message addressed in the previous chapter of 2 Chronicles. King Hezekiah had just taken over after the death of his wicked father, King Ahaz. The temple doors had been locked, closed for business, so to speak. The nation was in ruins on many levels. King Hezekiah's remedy was revival. The priests and the Levites were cleansed and consecrated. The temple was cleansed and consecrated. Temple worship and sacrifice were reestablished. The doors of the temple had been reopened, and the people and ministers of God and King Hezekiah rejoiced. How could this renewal be extended and expanded? There would be a celebration of Passover. The whole nation of Israel would be invited. And it was very important because there was serious disunity in the nation. Sound familiar? When the Assyrians had conquered the northern kingdom, they deported much of the population. And then they took other displaced people and they brought them into the Sumerian region. This was a deliberate and effective strategy. It reduced the likelihood of a later rebellion because their separate identities as a people and as a nation were diluted. And that's exactly what happened. Many in the conquered northern kingdom intermarried with their new neighbors. And because of this, the Hebrew people of Judah looked down upon them. 2 Chronicles 30, verses 6 and 7. At the king's command, couriers went throughout Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom, with letters from the king and from his officials, which read, "People of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their fathers, so that he made them an object of horror, as you can see. Return to the Lord, that he may return to you." Certainly, you can hear King Hezekiah calling the nation to repentance and renewal. These are the pillars of revival. And what was going to be the impetus for this movement? The people were going to Jerusalem, going to the temple of God to celebrate Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Spirit of God moved in this renewal of worship and faithfulness. Their God had commanded these festivals of remembrance, not for God's sake, but for his beloved people. We are blessed when we remember what God has done, because that is the basis of our hope for the future. The God who hears the cry of his people is the God that saves. He sent Moses to set the Hebrew people free, and he sent Jesus so that all people could be free. The response was remarkable. There was rejoicing at every level. Hearts were affected to the extent that it was decided to extend the feasting and celebration of what God had done a whole nother week. This required King Hezekiah to offer up 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep and goats for the assembly, and the officials provided them with another 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep and goats. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 26. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. There had been a hitch in the festivities. Many in the crowd had not consecrated themselves, made themselves clean, right? They're not ceremonial clean. They were unclean according to the Jewish law. Many people had come from the northern tribes, had not purified themselves, the scripture tells us. Yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. They broke the rule. They broke the law. Now, it may have been out of ignorance because it had been so many years since the Passover was celebrated. It may have been the unexpectedly fairly short notification because travel was mostly by foot over considerable distances. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the Lord, who is good, pardon everyone who sets his heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of his fathers, even if he is not clean according to the rules of the sanctuary." So King Hezekiah is praying for mercy based on the condition of their hearts. And God heard their prayer. To us, the ceremonial law does not seem like a big deal. But it definitely was a big deal to the Jews. Violating these God-given guidelines could lead to banishment from the community. That is why King Hezekiah prayed for them. And that's why it's crucial that the Lord heard the prayer and healed the people. That's what the scripture said. He heard the prayer and he healed the people. Now, isn't that an interesting phrasing? The Lord's response to their uncleanness was to heal the people. Yes, sin is a sickness. Remember the words of Jesus in his encounter with the Pharisees in Luke chapter 5. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners for repentance." Jesus equates sin with sickness. Now, maybe you're wondering why I haven't mentioned the word Eucharist yet, seeing as that's the title of the sermon. Patience, I'm getting there. We'll get there. The next step is to demonstrate that Jesus is the Passover lamb for Christians. I'm going to give you just 3 scriptures, while there are many more, to demonstrate that fact. John 1, verse 29. Now, all these scriptures will be online on the website tomorrow. You can look them up and have them there. The sermon is all printed in text also. You can read it again if you want. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Get rid of the old yeast that ye may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. Why? For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. After the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, Jesus addressed the crowds following him. Now, it's kind of funny. I don't know that I ever really recognized that not only was it just 5 loaves and 2 fish, it was 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, right? Just magnifying Jesus's miracles. So here's what Jesus told the crowd. You find it in John chapter 6. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life, he says. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews begin to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Sounds like communion, right? Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Who is it that eats the flesh and drinks the blood of the Lord Jesus? It is we Christians who partake of Holy Communion. But he's not just talking about Holy Communion. We'll get to that in a bit. This is Holy Communion is one of our two sacraments commanded by the Lord Jesus and ordained by the Lord Jesus. Let us join Jesus and his disciples on their last night together before his crucifixion. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher, capital T, asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Hopefully, you are able to see the pathway that we have followed. You can see the consistency in God's plan to redeem us and to save us. You can see the connection between Passover, Jesus, and the Lord's Supper. As the blood over the door frames of each Hebrew household was key to salvation from death, so the blood sacrifice of Jesus saves everyone who spiritually consumes the body and blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. My friends, we have come to our destination, the Eucharist. The Greek word is Eucharistia. That literally means thanksgiving, and it refers to the Lord's Supper. And if you will look at the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, which I did to verify this, you will see that Jesus gave thanks three different times. Considering what he knew he would face the next day, his death on the cross, and the beatings and the humiliation. This attitude of gratitude is remarkable. According to the Lexham Bible Dictionary, Jesus' action represents more than a table blessing or simple expression of gratitude. He's just not saying grace. He uses terminology associated with the sacrificial ministry of the Jerusalem temple, offering the elements of bread and wine as his body and blood, and referring to the action as his memorial. Do this in remembrance of me. It is interesting that Passover started as a corporate celebration at home. It's kind of like Christmas in that we celebrate it together as a body of Christ while also doing it individually in our homes. As the celebration of Passover evolved historically, it was held in the Jerusalem Temple of God. But we can see by the account of Jesus and the disciples, it was also still being celebrated at home. My exhortation to you is that we celebrate the Eucharist in our homes, in the normal rhythms of our lives. Jesus chose the two most common dinner items of his day, bread and wine. In establishing the practice, do this in remembrance of me. Truly, Jesus is the bread of heaven. And like manna, we need him every day. Or don't we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. I submit to you, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats his flesh and drinks my blood, he said, has eternal life. And I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. I tell you, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. This is the gift of the Eucharist. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, you are amazing in beyond our understanding. We can see how your holy word is woven together into a tapestry. It shows your goodness, your sovereignty, your love, your call to holiness. Lord, let us not be tempted by tinsel and shiny objects, but they will all pass away. But let us be grounded in the mighty blessing of your Son. And that in this Advent season, that you would provide opportunities for us to share that gift. That we present Jesus with joy and thanksgiving. I pray this in his precious name. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.